we're back on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe here at the Santa Fe Baking Company. My second guests, or guests for the second segment today, are the Reverend Gail Lindsay Mariner of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Santa Fe and Rabbi Marvin Schwab of Temple Beth Shalom, both of them members of the Interfaith Leadership Alliance. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being with me today. You guys are here to talk about Peace on Earth Day. What on earth is that?
Well, Peace on Earth Day is a celebration service at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation here in Santa Fe, hosted by the Interfaith Leadership Alliance. And it will include, well, a cast of dozens at least, if not hundreds. We have, I think at present, 8 or 9 different clergy offering prayers and blessings. We have guest speakers. Sister Joan Brown from Interfaith Power and Light is one of our speakers. Larry Rasmussen, who has just published last fall a book called Earth Care or Faith for Earth. I'm not supposed to forget that, but I just did. And then Anne Avalone from the diocese. All speaking on this intersection of faith and peace and the environment.
Okay. And in the past years, you've had peace walks, right?
We did, 2 years ago, we did a prayer peace walk that started at the Unitarian Church and ended at the cathedral. And several years before that, I think there was an interfaith block party. So along with the good things that the ILA does to make Santa Fe a more livable place for folks who are in distress, the interfaith shelter and things along that line, we also try and educate our congregations and the people around us so that we know each other, because it's much easier to work together if you're not afraid of each other because you might say something wrong. And so this is the service and the walk and the block party helped accomplish that.
And it also, in the words of Martin Buber, it makes it an I-thou relationship. It's not those people. It's not even necessarily being afraid. It's being sort of in a place of not understanding that they are full human beings with everything that you have in terms of hopes and cares and fears and everything else. And in the words of the Book of Ecclesiastes, the threefold cord is not easily broken. And so when you bind together the community in respect, even though we may not agree theologically, but when you come together in respect, you strengthen the entire fabric of the community. It's not strangers. Mm-hmm. It's not, as you put it, someone to be afraid of or even dislike. You know, the block party was one where if we sing together, we eat together, we get to know each other. It was a chance for people to go into the sanctuaries of the different congregations, and in many cases, for the very first time.
This is an event that you're talking about that happened a few years ago.
Yes. Yes. And may happen again.
That the Interfaith Leadership Alliance hosted. But let's go back to this weekend's event. What time, where?
Okay.
It's the inner, yeah.
It's going to start at 1:30 with a whole bunch of tables from a whole bunch of ecological organizations and environmental organizations who will be available to talk with people and share literature in the courtyard of the Unitarian Universalist Church under a great big tent.
Okay.
And then the service starts at 2 o'clock and will run, well, we hope it will run for exactly an hour, but
but it's hard to tell a minister to shut up when they're halfway through a prayer.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so watch me. Just watch me.
Well, now, Marvin, I know you could do it.
It may run a few minutes long. But then there'll be tables resuming afterwards in the courtyard so that people, once they get inspired by the beautiful music and by the wonderful speakers, will have a chance to go and figure out something they can actually do.
So this is Sunday starting at 1:30 at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Santa Fe, which is
absolutely
the church at the corner of Barcelona and Galisteo. For
right.
Those. Yeah, it's
right.
An easy way to say it. And is this a good thing for kids to come to?
I think it's a good thing for older kids to come to.
Like 12 and older, maybe?
12 and older, maybe. It's not really geared with lots of children's activities and stories. So if you have little wigglers, it would
little
be
wigglers.
Maybe distracting for them and for you.
Yeah, because the service itself is intended to be perhaps more contemplative.
I I think it may be kind of inspiring.
Oh, that'd be
and
great.
The children's choir from Santo Niño is going to sing. And so there will be kids around, but it's not a child-centered service.
Right.
It's an adult-centered service with big themes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, so I want to talk about, I mean, the hosting organization of this, it's the brainchild of the Interfaith Leadership Alliance, and I want to talk about that organization. Rabbi Schwab, didn't you kind of start that group?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, coming off of the theme of Field of Dreams, in the Jewish world, it's if you feed them, they will come. And we started with a lunch for clergy of the community at Temple Beth Shalom.
And when was that?
A long time ago,
yeah.
10 years ago?
Probably in
Did
that
Did it arise
in the
wake of 9/11?
Not directly. Uh-huh. It really arose from a phone call that I got from a woman who wanted to know where she could go to address the clergy of the community about a concern she had. And I realized that for liberal clergy, there really wasn't a place at that point. And so I consulted with Ben Larzelier, Pastor Larzelier of Christ Lutheran Church. He has since retired. And Dick Murphy of St. Bede's. He was the priest there. He's since retired. And Holly Beaumont as well, who's now with the Interfaith Workers Justice Group. And talked about what could we do, and the idea arose that if we had a community issue where we might be able to bring the resources of many congregations to bear on it, we could have a positive effect. And ultimately out of that came the ILA with the idea that we would have a focus, perhaps just for a year at a time, and then we would refocus if we needed to. And ultimately out of that came what's now the community closet.
What is that? Tell us about that.
It's housed now at the Interfaith Shelter. It's a place where people who need clothes can go. We collect new underwear and socks and wearable clothing and shoes and so forth. My wife and I actually have a couple of backpacks and so forth to donate. And it's just free. If somebody in coats, in particular in the winter, and we have a concern about education, and then the idea of what can we do about homelessness, and that arose out of the ILA with the idea that we needed to provide a place for women and children to go in the winter that was safe. And we started rotating amongst the congregations with cots. And out of that came the Interfaith Leadership, not the
Interfaith Shelter,
right? Which is the Interfaith Resource and Opportunity Center now, when it was originally just the Emergency Overflow Shelter. And it is, I believe, the only wet shelter in the city, which means if somebody is intoxicated or under the influence, there's a place for them to go where they would, in the past, as far as I know, been turned away. So I don't know how many lives that shelter has saved. And if nothing else were to come out of the ILA, we would say, since we're just coming out of Passover, Dayenu.
Dayenu.
That would be enough for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But the idea that we get to meet each other, I became very friendly with a number of Christian ministers that I would never have met. We just don't run in the same circles. And for some of them, they're very, in reality, conservative theologically, and even perhaps with some social issues. But we're able to have a grand tent.
Yes, a big tent.
A big tent under which we can meet and get to know each other, respect each other, learn about each other's religions.
Well, and it makes it easy then if something happens in the city of Santa Fe and the clergy need to respond. It's easy to pick up the phone and call Marvin or to shoot an email to somebody in order to orchestrate a response.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very hard to do when you don't know each other and trust each other.
Has that come up? Have you guys been able to orchestrate a response to something, some tragic incident or something like that through the ILA?
I think the ILA has done that several times. Fortunately, we haven't had an immediate tragedy right here in Santa Fe in the short time that I've been in the city. But I know there was a 9/11 response.
Well, that predates ILA. Way
okay.
predates. But a few years ago, there was a Republican official in Arizona who made some very disparaging remarks about Muslims. And it's one thing when you hear something like that. It's another to realize, as we were sensitized to in the ILA, that there were Muslim children that who were born here in America, growing up as Americans, young children, who are saying, why are they saying those things about us? That's not us. And we were able then to make a coordinated response, taking out an ad in the paper. It's not just a question of, oh, we have to defend Muslims. We do. We have to defend anybody who comes under attack from prejudice. It's a question of, if they single out the Muslims, next time it could be the Sikhs or the Jews, historically. And when there was the shooting in Kansas City recently, a terrible tragedy, not ameliorated at all by the fact that the guy who did that happened to have killed three Christians.
Outside of a Jewish temple,
outside of Jewish places. Yeah. No Jews.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Though we were the targets, but it shows how this baseless hatred is so corrosive that it kills anything and everything around it. I got several emails that I know through the ILA and so forth, asking, was I okay? Was our community okay? And saying how much this hurt them.
Mm.
And that kind of support is something that's extraordinary. And it was, in some ways, easy for me to fit into this role of trying to convoke the community, because when I arrived here as the new rabbi at Temple Beth Shalom 13 years ago, the biggest sign on the property was, we support St. Bede's.
Oh.
Because they had gone through a period of terrible vandalism.
St. Bede's is one of the Episcopal churches here in town.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they had done the terrible thing in the eyes of some people to say, we don't care who you are if you want to come worship here. A single person, same-sex couple, we don't care about that part. You want to be part of our community and come pray with us? You're welcome.
And they erected a rainbow flag, did they not?
Yes,
yeah.
That was part of it. Uh-huh. But, you know, to find that my Jewish congregation had... It's hard to see where Temple Beth Shalom is. Our signage is very discreet, let me call it that.
Yes.
Had this huge sign. You know, we support St. Bede's. It gives you a sense, I think, of what Santa Fe is meant to be. If this is a city of holy faith, it means we respect these faiths and work together for the betterment of the community. And that was the idea. And the ILA, the Interfaith Leadership Alliance, is still a place where we hear about things going on in the community. There's an anti-bullying campaign that's now being integrated into the public schools that started as an ILA project.
That's the Stand Up for Kindness
campaign. So
that started as a conversation at ILA?
Yes. Yes. It was the focus for 2 years ago was bullying and issues of children in the schools. And the insight was that bullying happens every place and everyone's involved, and so it's not enough for the schools to have a program by themselves. Really, the faith communities and the larger community need to be part of it. So right now, we're in a process of looking for our next project, and we don't know yet what that will be, although we have some good possibilities.
And one of the things that has really helped, we have a position of social justice coordinator at Temple Beth Shalom. And when we formed the ILA, Sue Breslauer was in that position at Temple Beth Shalom. And I had the luxury of being her supervisor and having the great stroke of genius to have hired her into that position. And I said to her, Sue, your duties will now include helping coordinate for the ILA. And she's
Which
now
is like herding cats, because clergy are notoriously difficult to organize.
Now, why would
and
you
she's
say
fabulous.
That? How dare you say that? Anyway. So Sue is our executive secretary, is that what we call
her? I think that's what we call her.
And so we're evolving as a group and becoming, I think, more of a mainstay as we go along of the community.
I think you're also becoming, the ILA is also becoming more diverse, because it has, even in the time I've been here, which is about 3 years now, expanded from mostly Jewish and Christian congregations, to include a number of our Buddhist congregations in town. I think folks from the Taha Mosque have been there from the get-go. Mm-hmm. But it's been interesting. Holy Faiths, the city of Holy Faiths, maybe needs an S once in a while, because we are becoming more diverse, and that's uh-huh. a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And membership in the ILA is open to clergy in the community. It was set to be congregational clergy because primarily so that we have those resources of volunteers. As a result of that, I was at the Interfaith Shelter last night because this is my congregation's week to be there. I'll be there again tonight. Those things sort of reaffirm your faith in the human spirit and what people can do.
Yes, they do. We should say more about the Interfaith Shelter. The ILA saw a need for that shelter. St. Elizabeth's has been here a long time, a wonderful resource to the community. But I believe there was a time when there were some people who died in the winter in Santa Fe because they were inebriated and they couldn't go to a shelter and froze to death.
And there was limited capacity.
Yes.
And so St. Elizabeth's did what they could, and they kept people from freezing to death when they could, but you're sleeping on the floor in the dining room and so forth. And the Interfaith Shelter gives people bunks, and it was very interesting last night to hear people sort of make a reservation.
Oh, yes.
I want a top bunk. I want a bottom bunk. I want mm-hmm. the one in the middle.
Or they want number 11.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they actually know.
Yes.
And when we think of homeless people, I think we also think of people that are possessionless. But it's not true. And in fact, what do they do when you're on the street? What do you do with the few things that you do own that are necessary to you? And the Interfaith Shelter has a place to store their belongings and safely and securely. We label them. I recently heard a speaker, got to meet him, from the National Coalition for the Homeless, who talked about being homeless for 3 years. And during that three-year time, he wouldn't go to a shelter. But during that three-year time, he was never able to bathe. He never had a warm meal. He never changed his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said during that three-year period, he never once heard another human being speak his name, which is such a sense of isolation. And at the shelter, there are showers, there are clean restrooms, there's a place to keep your belongings. And when you check your bag, whatever it might be, we ask your name. And so you're not a nameless, faceless person. We have a friend who's visiting with my wife and I from Portland, Oregon. She was so taken with it, she said, I have to find a shelter like this where I live so that I can volunteer. It was such a great, positive experience. And she kept asking me, how often can people come here? I said, every night. She said, every night? Yes. Well, how often can they eat here? Every night for dinner. It's just we want people to be well-fed. If they're nourished, they're going to be healthier. Better for them, better for the community. We want them to have a safe place. We want them to have a place to go. And the idea that the shelter can actually take women and children is, I think, extraordinarily important.
I volunteer at the shelter, as you probably know, on Friday mornings. And the shelter is open at night seasonally from about October till May 1st, I believe. And then it shuts down at night since it is the warmer months. It doesn't have enough money to operate year-round. However, the daytime services are year-round. And the shelter is now open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings. And that's when the Resource Opportunity Center, as it's called, brings in people from all the different social services in town to offer help to the homeless people who come. So you can go there and you can see someone from Healthcare for the Homeless if you're sick or you have an abscess or a problem. You can see a Veterans Affairs counselor. You can see a mental health counselor from LifeLink. You can get all of these different services that, as a homeless person, you might need, as well as a decent meal.
As well as a decent meal.
And in reality, this comes to me full circle back to this idea of our the idea of our celebration on Sunday, because we have to care for the inhabitants of the earth. We have to care for the earth as well, what houses it. The shelter needs maintenance on an ongoing basis and so forth, and so does the earth. We have to be mindful of what our activities are doing. My undergraduate degree is in zoology.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
And one of the things that you learn in that and in microbiology is, you know, bacteria, the population of bacteria in a colony can double every 20 minutes. So why isn't the earth just covered with bacteria? Well, I guess we are, but I mean, you know, physically deep. It's because the bacteria colony kills itself off because it can get the nutrients from the media, but it can't get rid of the waste products. And we're finding that as we colonize the earth, there's a certain point where that becomes an issue. People don't think about plumbing particularly as an ongoing thing, but you know, the invention of the flush toilet dramatically reduced typhus and typhoid and allowed a higher density population to exist. But it doesn't mean that we can ignore what's going on in the world. And when you think about the number of false positives in terms of a debris field from the missing Malaysian air flight that were triggered simply because of these huge fields of just trash. garbage floating in the ocean, apparently there's an area the size of Texas. Now, you know, for me, theologically, there's in the Psalms, it says the earth belongs to God. I'm sorry, the heavens belong to God, the earth belongs to human beings. Okay, if it belongs to us, we have to take care of it. And that is a religiously based obligation.
Well, and I think almost every faith tradition has a theological imperative to steward the earth in one way or another and to care for it. But there's also a really practical piece that Rabbi Marvin's talking about, and that is that this is our home. We need to share it. We need to take care of it. And as we encounter climate change and deal with stressors in the larger environment, that exacerbates all of the other tensions and all of the other frictions in the world. And so one of the ways to move us towards peace, to help us ensure peace on the planet, is to care for the planet itself as a way of caring for each other.
I think that's a good point. I'm talking with Rabbi Marvin Schwab and the Reverend Gail Lindsay Mariner this morning about Peace on Earth Day this Sunday.
Yeah. As we think about these things, I remember a grammar school teacher a long, long time ago, who said that wars would be fought over natural resources. Mm. And if you think about the ubiquitous water bottle, who would have predicted that water would sell for more than gasoline?
Yeah.
But you think about, particularly here in Santa Fe, how desperately we need water and how that's going to have a dramatic impact on our economy. It's not just here. In the Middle East, it's a huge concern. Is there enough water to support the population as it grows and becomes more water intensive? And again, if we there's a in Judaism we see a divine partnership between God and humans in creating the world that we want. God will give us the guidance, and at Christ Lutheran Church they have this great sign that says, "God's work, our hands."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it, and to me that's a very Jewish sort of thing. That's why I think there's a group that I refer to as the Jutherans.
The Jutherans.
The Jutherans. And so there is this absolute imperative, however we base it, for us to take care of things. There's theologically, this is a place where I may differ from some Christians. I don't think God is going to step in and save us. In the story of Noah, God says, "I won't destroy the world by flood." But in Judaism, it's a rather famous quote, "Didn't rule out fire, did it?" So it's up to us to be good stewards and to be aware. And I think perhaps most importantly is to join hands and do it together.
Well, the interfaith shelter worked. If we can help end deaths from exposure in the winter in Santa Fe by working together across all the faith traditions, maybe we can do something for the environment as well.
Exactly.
And Maimonides, who lived about 1,000 years ago, had what he called a ladder of tzedakah. And it's when you're asked to give, you give grudgingly and only but to the person and so forth. And the highest level is the old thing, he didn't put it this way, about, you know, give somebody a fish, you feed them for a day, teach them how to fish, you feed them for life. The best thing you can do is get people out of poverty, out of need, and bring them into society.
And so check out Peace on Earth Day, coming this Sunday, 1:30 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church at the corner of Galisteo and Barcelona. It's free, a service about peace and the environment. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Hollis Walker, sitting in for Mary Charlotte.